have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me tonight to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 17. I appreciate you being in the house of God tonight. We're believing God to bless. I understand it's a little ugly outside, but it's nice in here. Amen. And it's not as ugly as you'd think. Glory. Don't push it, son. We could get in trouble. Glory. They'll figure it out on their own in a minute. Glory. You're going to have to keep smiling. You're just messing up my day over there. We got one of them over here a while ago. She's like, I got a grin out every now so I can go on. Glory. Y'all won't figure out who it is unless you see her glowing in the dark over here. Glory. Amen. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. And if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deficit or the deceitfulness of lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness, the true holiness. I begin this morning to talk to you about being renewed in the spirit of your mind. I talked about the fact that we need to get in the light, walk in the light. God has made it easy for us to live for him if we use the tools he gave us. If we live by this word and we walk in his spirit, we can accomplish being Christians in this world. The Bible tells me in 1 John 1 and 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that awesome? Amen. I mean, if I just read that to you, I'd be able to shout. I don't know if y'all understand that or not, but that tells me that everything I did before I went to the cross, I said, God, I'm sorry. I want it under the blood. It's gone. I never have to worry about that anymore. That's what the Bible said. In this is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and he gave his son to be a propitiation. That's a highfalutin word for a cover up. Amen. And what it means is that when I go to Christ, my sins are gone. They're not coming back, because everything before that night has disappeared through the blood of Calvary, and I never have to worry about it again. Could you say amen to that, church? The song book, your red back hymnal, has a song in it. My sins are gone. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. They're as far removed as darkness is from dawn in the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. Praise God. My sins are gone. Could you say amen to that, church? Glory. I like to quote that every once in a while, because quoting that one night in Oakman, Alabama, got me a free steak. Guy come to me at church. He said, that ain't in the Bible. I said, what's that? He said, about the depth of the sea. I said, what are you talking about? He said, if it's in the Bible, I'll buy you the best steak at the steakhouse in Jasper. I said, you going up after church? He said, yeah. I said, I like mine medium well. I'll take their cowboy steak cut, and I'll take a baked potato and a salad with ranch dressing. I'll be up there in just a few minutes. He said, what are you talking about? I said, oh, it's in the book of Micah. He said, thou shalt turn again and thou shalt cast our sins into the depth of the sea. He looked at me sort of funny. He said, you didn't even have to look it up. I said, no, I knew it was there before I quoted it. Glory. Amen. We headed up to the steakhouse and I ate a big old steak. Asked God to forgive me, because it was a big one. Lord. Amen. But the reality is, he's saying if we get in the light, we make it. But we don't need to be angry at people in spiritual darkness for not being able to see what's obvious to us. Instead, we need to bring them spiritual light. You know, we get frustrated because some people don't believe the way we believe. I go down to Pickens County a lot, and I've been asked several times to speak to the association down there, and it's from another denomination. I have fun going. I know all the older gentlemen that are there. They got one guy that's 80 years old, pastoring out of, come out of retirement for about the eighth time. He's pastoring the church there in Reform, Alabama, and he's a great guy. Ain't got no sense, but he's a great man of God. And I was over there one time to speak for him, and they had this new dude that showed up in the community, and he started in on me. He said, "Well, you're a church of God, right?" I said, "Yes, sir, I am." He said, "I guess you one of them believes in the Holy Ghost." I said, "Well, don't you?" He said, "Not the way you do." I said, "Well, that's just fine. I believe it the way the Bible tells it." He said, "I believe when you get saved, the Holy Ghost abides with you." I said, "That's true." He said, "Well, you believe more, don't you?" I said, "Well, yeah, there's more. It's called the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we believe in that." He looked at me sort of funny. He said, "Well, it's not in our doctrine." I said, "Well, I'm not planning on preaching on that today." Glory. I said, "But it seems to be bugging you, so you're trying to find answers. Are you really seeking for it?" He looked at me sort of funny and said, "I have you to know." And he went through a list of degrees. There were more degrees on his resume than a cheap thermometer. He looked at me sort of funny and he said, "I have you to know, I have a degree in this. I looked at him, I said, "Wow, that's awesome." I said, "But you don't have the Holy Ghost, do you?" He said, "Well, I don't believe in it." I said, "Well, you know what? I got scripture that says walk in the light as you're in the light, having fellowship one with the other." And I said, "So I can sit here and talk to you and I don't have to get mad like you're getting?" He looked at me sort of funny. He said, "Anybody believes in the gifts of the Spirit and operates the Spirit is wrong. It don't happen today." I looked at him. I said, "Well, you have your opinion. I have mine. We'll agree to disagree for the moment." He looked at me sort of funny. He said, "I won, and you just ain't willing to admit it." I said, "Fight ain't over." They were having a meeting, so I asked, could I go into their library? I don't know if y'all understand it, but certain denominations, they have a main office where they have a library, and their pastors can go and get books they don't have in their library. And they had the early church fathers. And I went in and looked through it. And I found this guy by the name of Tertullius. And I looked up a certain page in there. I go walking back in and I highlighted it with a highlighter. And I carried it in and I handed it to the president. And I said, "Now when the time comes, I want you to read that for me." He said, "Okay." I walked in, sat down, and I said, "Hey, dude, told you the fight ain't over." He said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Well, I had to go get another bullet in my gun." I said, "This guy Tertullius, do you know who he is?" "Well, of course, I've wrote papers on him. He was the first Baptist preacher." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "So anything he said you agree with?" He said, "Oh, yes. He was a great man of God, the originator of Christian thought." And all the early church fathers, that's what they're noted for. They originated Christian thought. I said, "Mr. President, would you read that?" He said, "Yes." He said, "According to this, Tertullius said anybody who said the gifts of the charismata are not for their day should be shunned and turned away from because they're a heretic." I looked over and I said, "Now, dude, I don't have that degree you got, but your buddy just nailed you in the head." Glory. He looked at me sort of funny. He said, "We're going to continue this." I said, "Hey, at your pleasure." Glory. Brandon Pinion stood up and he said, "Son, you're going to learn something about that boy. He's about like me. He ain't that educated, but he ain't stupid either." Glory. Amen. You know, I got to be good friends with that fellow. I'll call him every once in a while and talk to him. He still laughs about the day me and him got into it. And guess what? Not long ago, he called me and he said, "You know, I was praying the other night and something got all over me and I started speaking in an unknown tongue." Glory. Amen. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" I'm telling you, we don't have to get mad. We just walk in the light. And as long as we share the light, sometimes it'll shine in other people. Come on, church, that's just good thought. Oh, Look, being renewed in the spirit of your mind is really beneficial because those whose mind is alienated from God have the following characteristics. They have futility in thinking. Ephesians 4:17, this I say therefore and testify of the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. You ever notice that people that aren't saved and don't live right are constantly thinking about stuff that's not possible in their condition? They set goals they can't obtain and then blow up because they can't get there. They live in a life of vanity. Their thinking's all messed up. Come on, church. See, one of the problems we have in the church world is we get people in the church that's got stinking thinking. Glory. You ever get that thinking turned around, you're in good shape. But that won't happen till you turn your life over to God. Hello? But listen, not only that, they have a darkened understanding. The A part of the 18th verse, having their understanding darkened. They can't see in the dark what God is trying to show them because the devil has hoodwinked them into believing it's okay. It's all right. Come on, church. Now, I know that there's some of you going to start coming up, showing me some book you read. I had a guy buy me a book one time, gave it to me. It's called, You Need to Read This. He said, The Bible in Light of Your Redemption. He said, now, in that book, the man said, you have to study and translate the Bible according to how things are happening in your life. How many of y'all understand that's backwards? I don't interpret the Bible by what's going on in my life. I adjust my life to the interpretation of Scripture, and I live according to the Word of God, and that way I can understand what it is to have joy that is unspeakable and full of glory and a peace that pass all understanding and a faith that'll move mountains. Could you say amen? But notice this, they also have spiritual ignorance. The B verse said, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness of their heart. Because they can't see God, they're ignorant of the reality of God. They can read the same verse of Scripture you read and can't understand what God's trying to tell them. Why? Because without the anointing of the Spirit, you will never interpret Scripture properly in your life. Hello? Come on, church. Listen, being renewed in the spirit of your mind by feeding your mind. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 gives us mind food for the Christian. Be careful for nothing. First thing, quit worrying. We got people that are eating all kind of nerve pills because they're worried about stuff that ain't never going to happen. Come on, church. They worry about what they're going to worry about because they're worried they won't have nothing to worry about. And then they ain't got nothing. Glory. Now, I was a kid, they had a cartoon that came on. They had this one little character. No matter what was going on, he had a bad idea. It'll never work. We're doomed. I don't care what was going on. It'll never work. We're doomed. We got people like that in the world. They can get $1 million and they think the taxes are so much they're going to go broke on it. Glory. The reality is, they're feeding their mind and their mind is worried because they're worried about what they're going to catch, worried about what they're going to get. See, I don't understand this. The only time a 5-second rule don't work is when you got a 2-second dog standing beside you. Glory. Hello? Some of y'all catch that in a minute. I learned that the hard way. I come out of a grocery store one day and I was opening up a cinnamon roll and it popped. It hit the ground. I reached to get it and the dog went by me with it just as I was going down. Somebody said, you had to eat that after it hit the ground? Of course. Wasn't nothing wrong with it. I ate dirt when I was a kid, just like some of y'all did. None of us died. I mean, I walked through the field, picked a tomato. Didn't even think about the thing that had pesticides on it where we'd sprayed them. I mean, I wasn't thinking about that. Hello? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Why is it you don't have to worry? Because you understand my God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above all I could ever ask or think. If we can get our mind to comprehend what God's trying to tell us, there is no need to worry, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I've got a God who is surrounding me with power and grace and glory. I have nothing to fear. Well, preacher, I don't know about you, but I've got something to fear. I've got 365 scriptures that says fear not or don't be afraid. You know what that means? I got one for every day of the year that said no matter what you throw at me, I don't have to worry, because I've got a God who's going to take care of it, who's going to provide for me. I can be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You put me in the fire, I don't care whether I burn or not. I'm not bowing, because I'm serving a God that'll either bring me out or give me eternal life. Either way, I win. Glory. I never forget when Earl Hall was dying. Ken took him for a ride around Columbus, Jackson, Mississippi. And he looked at him and he said, son, I know you and Mom's praying for me, but it's obvious God's not going to heal me. He said, now for the last 30 years, I've been trying to get somewhere and y'all doing everything you can to keep me from getting there. So why don't you just let me go and get what I've been looking for? Hello? I hope I'll be like that, because I like living just like anybody else. I've been in car wrecks that I should have died in, and I'll be honest with you, because if I have a wreck, I'm going to pray. You ain't never been in one of them kind of wrecks, because when you get in that kind of wreck, all you worry about is living. You don't pray about it till it's over, and you realize, oh, thank God I'm alive. Glory. Hello? Y'all missed that. Notice what's going to happen if I sell out to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. If I get my mind on God and it stayed on God, I don't have to worry about what the doctor says or what the financial report is or what's going to happen on the other side, because I understand in him I live, in him I move, in him I have my being, and by him I am a conqueror. But he said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Another scripture, he will keep your mind in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. Now, I got off on singing this morning because it was just there. And I know I could leave it alone. But let's face it, some of the junk we put in our heads what put us where we are. I don't like that rock music, but I like that country. That country's good stuff, ain't it? Last night, all alone in a bar room. Huh. I mean, that's the kind of stuff you can raise a family on, ain't it? Huh? Well, we got folks in here thinks country music's good, but it's just a different beat with the same junk. Do you know they backmasked country music? The dog came home, his wife came home, he got his money back, he got his job back. Whew, it's a rough crowd tonight. Oh. I remember back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, they were talking about backmasking music, and that's where you'd take the old 33 and a third albums and turn them and spin them backwards, and they'd say stuff. And this one guy grabbed this album, started turning it backwards. I said, why are you turning it backwards? He said, you ought to hear what it says. I said, you ever listen to it forward? He said, what are you talking about? I said, well, it talks about a sprinkling for the May Queen. That's a fertility goddess of the Satanic Church. And I said, so you don't have to turn it backwards to know he's talking about Satan. Hello? See, some of y'all sitting there going, what are you talking about? I'm talking about one of the top rock songs that was ever written. It's totally satanic. I mean, let's face it, Kiss, Knights in Satan's Service. They bragged about it. They sung a song one time called Fire, I Beg You to Burn. People just dancing all over the place. These guys are bad. I know why they wore makeup. They didn't want to know who they was when it was over with. Glory. And I know you guys from the 70s, y'all listen to that junk. But our kids today are listening to stuff that far surpasses anything you listen to. Because you won't hear a song today on the radio that don't talk about sex, getting drunk, or getting high. Because all them gangsters can talk about getting you some grills. I never understood why you want all your teeth pulled and steel put in your mouth. Who want to go out with a toothy guy with a gold face? Glory. Come on, church. And you got girls talking about sex, and we got kids listening to it. They want to know why 35% of our kids are sending pictures over the cell phone that's going to get them arrested in the next couple of months. Glory. And I know y'all don't want to hear it, but my neighbor said they fixed to start arresting y'all because they can catch every one of those pictures you think they can't catch. You say, well, how would he know? That's what he does for a living. He's a member of the Alabama Bureau of Investigation, and he works computers and phones, and they're catching all those pictures, and they're going to start warning, then they're going to start arresting, and we're going to have kids that's going to go to jail for sex offenses at 14 years old, and it'll stay on your record the rest of your life. You will never get away from it. You will be listed as a sex offender the rest of your life. And we're sitting there going, oh, there's nothing wrong with that. Yes, there is. If it wasn't wrong, it wouldn't be long. We got to change our thinking. I had a young person argue me the other night that they didn't commit adultery. It wasn't adultery. They weren't married. Well, according to what I read, if you have sex outside of marriage, that's adultery. Whether you're married, they're married, and neither one of you's married, it's still adultery. And guess what? There is a place for all adulterers. What the Bible said, it said all adulterers. Of course, let me throw this in. It also said all liars. Notice it didn't specify and say all those that don't go to church. It said all. It's called hell. Hey, let me throw something at you, kids. You can find a girl that looks good, but that don't mean she's going to be a wife that can help you make a home. And girls, you can find you a boy. He might have all the muscles and everything, but does he have a job? Can he provide for you? Are you going to live the rest of your life on food stamps and hope so's? Or are they going to get out and find some way to make a living where you can have what God wants you to have? I need some amens because I'm getting some looks right now. Glory. I wasn't about to give a girl a time of day if I knew she wasn't going to get a good job. Glory. The truth of the matter is, I tried to keep her from going to work. She took the job, and 2 months later, I quit. Glory. I was kind of glad she had that job. Glory. Now, I didn't quit working. I quit that job I had. I went to work with her daddy, and for the first time in my life, I was really working. Glory. I worked before then, but I was actually doing carpenter work. And I'll never forget the first day I went to work. I had on a pair of new Brogans, new blue jeans, new shirt. We have a young man doesn't know what Brogans are. Leather work boots. I got there and I'm thinking, yeah, I'm ready. Had me a new nail belt. I found out I didn't need that nail pouch. We were putting up particle board that day. Not aspenite, but the old black tar board. I went home that afternoon. I was black from head to toe. I hadn't even had my nail patch on. All I was doing was toting stuff, cutting stuff, breaking stuff, and sticking it up to somebody else that was nailing it on. And I was getting dust all over me, and I couldn't breathe. I'd blow my nose, and black stuff had come out. Lord. I got home, and all I could think about was, I believe I want to go back to work selling chemical paper products. Glory. But you know what? I realized I've got something in my life I've got to do. I couldn't do it at that job. I can do it here. Because I worked for a man who said, if you get somewhere to preach, go preach. When you get back, you'll have a job. You say, why is your father-in-law? Steve Wallace, that's now the interim pastor at Calera, worked with my father-in-law. So did Marty Kelly, the pastor at Muscle Shoals. So did several other preachers. We were all evangelists. Wayne Graves, that owns Wayne's Auto Sales, when he started out evangelizing, worked with my father-in-law. And there were times they'd be all four or five of us at work, and then there'd be times none of us would be there because we was off working. But when we came back, he had work for us. And we kept those jobs to keep us going in between revivals because he wanted to help ministry. Come on, church. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? We've got to get to that place where we begin to feed our mind proper stuff. And when we do, we don't worry about tomorrow. The next day, we don't live a life with a darkened sense of what's going to happen, a foreboding of what tomorrow holds, because we understand, I don't hold tomorrow, but I know whose hand I hold, and I know who's going to bring me through no matter what happens. I got to hurry. This may be the beginning of next week. I don't know. Being renewed in the spirit of your mind, letting God guide your thinking. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. But in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Let me give you a quick translation. He will give you success. Now, does that mean I'm going to be a millionaire? No, that just means I'll be successful in whatever God has set me to do. Hello? Come on, church. God will make out of you what he wants you to be if you sell out to what he wants you to be. The other morning, I was in Tuscaloosa. I went to see the doctor and had to go by and get my glasses. By the way, I wear these all the time now. Somebody actually thought I had tape on them the other night. I don't know. It's just the way they're made, but they had thought I done had to tape them together. Lord. I stopped at a place in Northport where people eat breakfast, and I went in and get me some breakfast, and I'm sitting there. Yeah, it's just a place I've eaten at a lot. I just enjoy their food, so I sit down and eat. And, of course, I enjoy everybody's food just about it. But I'm sitting there eating breakfast, and the guy walks by me. And he sits down, he gets a cup of coffee, and he's reading the paper. And I'm eating, and I get through eating, and I start to get up, and he said, hey! I said, yes, sir. He said, you're Ken Stroop, right? I said, yeah. He said, R.D. I said, R.D.? He said, yeah, we went to school together. I said, you're Dale. He had a hat on. He pulled his hat up. I said, you're Dale. He said, yeah. I said, what do you do for yourself, man? He said, I work down at the refinery where I've been since I got out of high school. He said, I want to ask you one question to see if it's true. I said, what's that? He said, are you a preacher? I said, who would have told you that? He said, everybody I see says Stroop became a preacher. He said, nobody in the class believes it. I said, well, yeah, I am. He said, what kind of preacher are you? I reverted to my old self. I said, I'm a good one. He said, what denomination? I said, well, I make good money if that's what you're talking about. He said, no, what church? I said, the one I pastor. I finally told him I was Church of God. He said, Church of God? Didn't you used to make fun of them? I said, sure did. I thought there's the craziest bunch of people in the world. He said, what about you? I said, I joined them and I passed most of them. Glory. Amen. He looked at me sort of funny. He said, what are you talking about? I said, I'm so crazy. I believe God can do anything with anybody, anytime. And if we'll just sell out to him, he can make something out of you. Amen. You say, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not. Look at me. I'm not kin to anybody. I don't have any reason to be where I am. But I've got a God that said, if you'll cast yourself on me, I'll lift you up. And when I let God have control of my life, I've been places I shouldn't go and done things I shouldn't have done because God is on my. Being renewed in the spirit of your mind is really beneficial because the influence our mind has on our life. Great truth. When all the scientists have climbed the great hill of knowledge, reached the top, having discovered all there is to discover, they will find God walking with them on the other side. Historically, some of the most brilliant minds were believers. And I'm getting ready to close. I can see some of you right now say, we're going to be here all night. It's Sunday night. Sir Isaac Newton, Orville and Wilbur Wright, George Washington Carver, Jim Irwin, the astronaut, Samuel Morse, the inventor of Morse code, Louis Pasteur, the great scientist who invented the cure for polio and many other diseases, Nicholas Copernicus, the Polish astronomer. As believers, their faith guided them in every aspect of their profession and discipline. Galileo, the Italian physicist who invented the telescope. I do not feel obligated to believe that the same God who has endowed us with sense and reason and intellect has intended us to forego their use. Hello? He said, the God that made me smart didn't intend me to forget it. He wanted me to use it for his glory. Johannes Kepler, German scientist and astronomer. The three laws of planetary motion. Since we as astronomers are priests of the highest God in regard to the book of nature, it benefits us to be thoughtful, not of the glory of our minds, but rather above all else, the glory of our God. Hello? Oh, preacher, you're crazy. These are what these guys wrote, not me. Pascal, the French mathematician, said there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God, the Creator, who made known through Jesus Christ. But by Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, we prove God and teach doctrine and morals. Jesus Christ then is the true God of man. Newton wrote, the solar system itself could not have been produced by blind chance or fortuitous causes, but only by a cause very well skilled in mechanics and geometry. What are you getting at? These guys that invented all these things found a God in their intelligence. A few years ago, I had the privilege of sitting with a man and talking with him in Tuscaloosa. He invented a little chip while working for the federal government. They actually put that chip in someone in Arizona who was totally paralyzed, and by wiring their legs, they was able to program that chip to make that person walk. He was an atheist who believed God did not exist, could not exist, and wasn't possible for him to exist. But in his research and in his study, he suddenly realized there had to be a supreme being. Diagnosed with cancer, he began to seek the God that everybody talked about. The time he was in Tuscaloosa, he was actually preaching a revival at a very large Baptist church there because he was now a minister of the gospel. We met with him as a group of ministers because he wanted to talk to us about that chip. He is convinced, or was convinced, because he did pass away a few years later. But he was convinced at the time that he invented the one thing the Antichrist could control the entire world with. While an atheist working for our government, he created what we call RFID chips, radio frequency identity chips. They can be placed in you through a needle. They only work in the back of the hand or the forehead. He said, we spent $3 million to find out what we could have read a Bible and it would have told us where it worked. Glory. That chip is the one thing that will control people in this world. We're worried about tomorrow when we ought to be realizing tomorrow's already here. The new advertisements for the iPhones, your wallet's in your phone. You just tap it and go. The technology that's in that phone will go into that chip. So you walk by and say, I'll use the Visa. You don't have to have a wallet. You don't have to have your cards. You just got your hand. Nobody can steal your identity because you would have to be there for it to work. My Bible tells me that anybody that takes the mark of the beast will not be entering into the kingdom of God. Now we've got to decide, where are we going with this? Wait a minute, preacher, the mark of the beast is 666. Every computer functions off the call numbers, 666. That chip's activated by the number 666. Our God was so smart, before man ever figured out anything, he already knew how it was going to play out. And because of that, we need to take our mind to God and let him realize that we're living in the last day. And it's time to get our mind renewed to him and prepare ourselves for his coming. Because if we don't, we're going to miss it. Contrary to popular belief, everybody that goes to church and hollers, praise God, is not going to eternity with him. He said, narrow is the way and narrow is the gate, and few there be that find their way in. I made up my mind almost 41 years ago. I want to go to heaven. I know y'all may have got saved for these beautiful reasons, but I realized I was going to hell, and that's why I got saved. And I got excited because I wasn't going. And I made up my mind I wasn't going to go. And I made up my mind that whatever it cost, I want to go to heaven. And I realized for that to happen, I had to translate my thinking to God's thinking. I had to have a renewing of the spirit of my mind to prepare myself to live in heavenly places. Can I take just a few more minutes? Have any of y'all ever read the story of Eleazar when he went to get the bride for Isaac? Oh, it's a beautiful story. He's on a camel. He's got 9 camels behind him. Isn't that awesome? Because you know what was on those camels? They were gifts for the prospective bride. What is that a picture of? The Holy Spirit of God bringing us the 9 gifts of the Spirit. What are they there for? The perfecting of the bride so she'll be ready when she gets married. Now notice this. He goes and takes a woman from a place. She's happy there. She knows it well. Everything around her is familiar to her. And he takes her from there to a place she's never been, to live in a house she's never seen, to marry a man she has never laid eyes on, but believes he is the one. And during the trip back, every night, he's telling her about the man, telling her about the house, giving her the gifts to prepare her to live like those people live and to help her learn how to walk the way they walk, talk the way they talk, live the way they live. And guess what? God has not left us any different. We're going to live in a place we've never seen. We're going to marry a God we've never actually laid our eyes on. And we're going there to live forever and forever and forever and forever. And the only thing we got going is the anointing of the Spirit, who brings us the gifts of His word and His power, and is telling us about that place and how to live and how to walk, how to talk, how to live. So we're ready for that place when we get there. And it all comes from the renewing of the spirit of the mind to go, I am a child of God. I'm not going to be a child of God, but beloved, now we are the sons of God. And right now, I am His child. I should live that way, act that way, walk that way. And stand with me all over the house. Whew. Oh, God, have your way. I love you, Lord. God, I love you, Lord. God, I love you. Holy God. The altar's open to those who want to come and pray. I believe with all my heart God is getting our church ready to be a light to a lost world in the last day. But our light has to burn bright. And that means we have to have a renewing of thinking. A renewing of the way we believe. How we live. The Spirit of God has given the altar call. I'm not going to say another word, but I want us to pray. And if you're here, you want to pray, these altars are open to you. Turn yourself over to Him.